I need an intro.
No.
I do. I totally do. Please. I'm so late. I should have done it last week. You know what I've been doing?
Class is going to start in like 4 minutes.
Okay, we only need a couple of minutes for the intro. But what I've been doing is I've been working on the Cody presentation. We're doing a Cody presentation this week, actually tomorrow, which people would know about if they were listening to the intro of this, if I had gotten it out last week. But now they only have the potential of listening to this intro today.
You're the unorganized one here. I had this entire weekend you could have done it, and you choose the one day I'm in class.
I'm sorry.
To make it worse, I have 4 minutes left.
Well, that's okay, because we only need less than 2 minutes to introduce...
Now I have 3 minutes left.
To introduce the San Carlos Computer Club coming at you from March 9th? No, March 16th.
Don't ask me.
2021. I'm looking at you.
Don't look at me.
I am Scott Stimson, your host.
I'm Viviana Stimson, his daughter.
Expelling an immense amount of patience for her father on his endeavor to make an intro for you for our meeting from March 16th, 2021. Bibi is signaling to me she has less than 2 minutes before class is starting, so this is it. I'm saying goodbye. Tech on.
Tech on.
And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
1 minute left.
So you did it in Nogales, Arizona?
Yes, I did.
And was that your first one or your second one?
Good morning, Linda.
It's my only one. I got Johnson & Johnson.
Oh, wow. Did you know that when you were going up?
Yes, sir.
Wow. So did you have to make special arrangements? Did you have to pay for your shot? Was there...
No.
No?
No, I have a Nogales post office box, so I have a Nogales address.
Yeah. I mean, from what I understand, that shouldn't matter.
It does. They ask my address.
Yeah. No, having an address for tracking matters, but having it in the place you're getting the shot doesn't seem to matter.
Well organized, Irving, you were right. They were so nice there. It was wonderful. They tried really hard to get Phyllis Arbuckle in. But they said that they might have a leftover vaccine, but they didn't know if they would or not. So, because she was not registered.
So you went up under an appointment?
Yes, I did.
Scott, when I registered, they required you have proof of having an address in that county.
Exactly.
Oh, they did?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
But I did not have to show proof.
It just seems like the stories that I've heard make it sound like people could just go to Arizona. Like the Alaskan stories are that way. It sounds like you could fly to Alaska to get your vaccine. They would want to know your address, but the fact that you were in Alaska was enough for them to vaccinate you if you satisfied the age requirements.
And I think that's the way it should be. So,
yeah. And I think Alaska's opened it up to 16 and over now.
Wow. Colorado is opening, I think, to 50 and over starting on the 19th of March. So I don't know.
Bill, I just muted you again because some rogue sounds were coming from your... I've been paying attention to the ellipsis in green, and you can see where the rogue sounds are coming from if you look.
Also, Nogales...
Hey, stay there. Stay down. Down, Bill, down.
Nogales opened up for 60 and over starting tomorrow.
Okay. Well, it's definitely a side plan is to go up to Nogales and get vaccinated just because here it looks like chaos right now.
Well, did you see? If it had not been Johnson & Johnson, I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, that's neat that you could just go up and do one. That makes it much more desirable a trip to make.
Yeah. So granted, it was a night in a hotel and shopping and out to dinner.
You were vaccinated.
It was quite expensive, but really the vaccine was free.
Gee, did you go dancing and see a movie too?
No.
Judy's having her own personal super spreader.
I went to Safeway and I went to Walmart and Home Depot and out to dinner.
No, that sounds like an awesome way to do it.
It was very good. And Phyllis went with me, so that was really nice.
That's cool. It's too bad she doesn't join us on this.
I don't know. I reminded her, so we'll see.
So, Scott?
She was up at 6 o'clock this morning to drive into Wymouth because today was supposed to be her day to get her vaccine in Wymouth. But they were out of vaccine.
Oh, that's the report, is that they were out of vaccine in Wymouth? Did you see the pictures from the crowd that showed up to get vaccinated the other day?
No, but they were out because they went to Conalep to get their vaccine this morning, and they said tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Well, at the beginning of the week, was it yesterday or the day? I think it was yesterday. There was pictures of this insane line of people showing up with or without appointments, people of all ages, everybody in masks, crowded together trying to get vaccinated in Ames. I thought it was just another one of those, what a crazy world we live in, that we've got people like jumping over each other to get vaccinated in this country, and we've got a whole section of people in the United States that wouldn't touch it. I talked to a person earlier this week that absolutely couldn't imagine getting the vaccination, that's such a dangerous thing to do. They've seen doctors online telling them exactly how dangerous the vaccine is.
And I don't get the flu shot or any of those shots, so it was quite a thing for me to do it, but I decided that was my part in helping the world. That's how I live.
Yeah. That's interesting. I don't bother with the flu shot either. I typically think of herd immunity and 50% effectiveness and go, well, I'll just take my chances. Maybe I'll feel differently as I get older, but up till now, I've just never bothered with the flu shot. But this, I mean, if it's 95% effective, it seems like, and people are getting sick and dying, not in droves, but enough that it's a concern for us. I mean, we've seen the numbers. I'm ready to get vaccinated. I don't have any questions about it. I think it's the right thing to do. How's everybody doing? Hi, Linda. I saw you connect. We're in the middle. We actually haven't officially started yet. I'm just so glad that so many people found that they could make this new time, which I'll remind you isn't a new time for me, but it is for you guys that aren't in this time zone.
Okay, I have a question.
Okay, but we haven't officially started, so it better be a funny one.
It's not a funny question. Hi, Betty. Betty.
What's going on, Linda? What's your question?
Say it again. Betty.
Okay. We moved to our new house. That's why I haven't been on. I've been just so busy. But
oh yeah,
I have an Aris or Aris. I have Cox Cable. Okay.
Cox Cable.
And you know, I have my Eero set up.
Yes.
I've been having a lot of problem because the internet keeps going off on my laptop. So I got online and then I got on talk with the Aris and they told me I needed to do this bridge mode setup.
What?
So I did set up yesterday.
On the Aris.
Right. And you're supposed to, and I'm not sure if the bridge mode setup turns off the Wi-Fi on the Aris, because now I'm still having problem this morning, and that's what just happened to me when I came on, then I got pushed off.
So what happened to you this morning after getting bridge mode, if you guys aren't aware, is turning your device into a pathway. And your device doesn't do any of the authentication. A device behind that device has to do the authentication. So in circumstances in San Carlos to associate with would be, here's my Telmex modem and my own router. And when you put the Telmex modem in bridge mode, it's no longer in charge of your username and password. It can no longer authenticate you to get connected to Telmex. So you have to get a username and password from Telmex, and you put that into your router. In Linda's case, she would put it into her Eero system.
Okay, so do you think that's what I need to do, change my password?
No, I don't think you need to change your password. You got it into bridge mode, right? So you're getting authenticated through your Euro?
Correct. Supposedly.
But then you're getting dropped still. So that didn't solve your problem.
Right.
Because of the amount of success that I've had with Euros, I'm tempted to believe it's your internet provider.
Well, besides the bridge mode, do I have to turn off the Wi-Fi somehow?
Well, the Wi-Fi actually shouldn't be in bridge mode. Wi-Fi on their device should automatically be turned off.
Oh.
Do you see a Wi-Fi signal from the Cox provided device that I've already forgotten the name of? Aeris, the Aeris?
It just says secured.
But you do see a Wi-Fi there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Huh. Well, I wasn't expecting that out of the bridge. Are you sure you're in bridge mode?
Yes.
Interesting. I don't think turning it on or off would have anything to do with you being successful with it. Hey, when you get knocked off, do you see anything on your screen? Like, do you see your Wi-Fi connection dropping?
Yeah, you know how at the bottom, you'll
yeah,
see
in Windows 10
turn into like the world.
It'll turn into the world, but do you happen to? I mean, if you click on the world and you're not online, but you're still on Wi-Fi, you'll see a Wi-Fi connection. So you'll have the world. If you click on the world, it'll bring up your Wi-Fi connections, and it'll still show you connected.
Right.
If you're on Wi-Fi, it'll say no internet, actually. It would say no internet.
Right. It says secured, no internet.
Okay, so that sounds like your Wi-Fi is working just fine and your internet connection is your issue.
Well, what do I do about that?
Complain to Cox again, I think. What, you know what you could do? You could run an app like Ping Plotter that creates a graph of your success hitting a place out there on the internet. And you could run it over time so that when it does fail, there'll be a visual record of when it failed. Ping Plotter will actually list all the different hops between you and where you're trying to go. And it'll show your Euro, and it will show the Cox router, the connection. And so even if your connection has gone down, while it's down, it will show you how far out that map it can get. So if it can get to your Euro and it can get to the Cox end of things, but then it's not going any farther, there's visual evidence that they're having problems. Whereas if it's your Euro, you should see it stop right there at the Euro.
Okay, so my other question is, do I need to put my router back on and then connect the Euro to the router?
I don't believe so, but you know what you could do if you wanted. Another way that you could troubleshoot this is you could give up on the Euro, replace it with the router, and monitor that. And if you have the same problem, then that's another sign that it's not the Euro equipment, that it's the Cox equipment that's the issue. Sorry. Or the Cox connection. I can only say it would be the Cox connection, whatever's involved in it. Something in there is having a problem.
Okay, so it might not be this box that I bought. It might be Cox.
What box did you buy?
This SBG10. I bought it from somebody.
What is the SBG10?
The modem.
This is the Aeris device?
Yes.
Okay. Well, it could be that, because that's part of the Cox connection.
See, they keep, when I go on... chat, they keep telling me, you know, they want to sell me the panoramic modem.
Well, Linda, I don't know what to tell you. If you've bought it outside of your internet provider, they don't have any responsibility to help you with it.
Correct.
And yes, it could. See, I don't believe that it's the Euro, but only from the experience I've had with the Euro equipment. I have never had a problem where the internet was cutting out and it wasn't the internet provider's fault. But that termination, that device that you hooked up and you put it into bridge mode, that could be the problem, or it could be farther down the line.
Okay, well, I was thinking if I should plug my Buffalo router back in and see if that
So that's the thing, is if you suspect that the Euro could be the problem, then yes, you could replace it with the Buffalo router and connect there and monitor and see if you have the same cutout of internet.
Okay.
And if you do, across those two devices, you still don't know if it's not the Aries that's causing the problem or if it's Cox that's causing the problem. But you do know that the Euro is not the cause of the problem.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yeah, because when I first plugged this in, it was okay. And now in the last 4 or 5 days, it starts this where it comes on and then it goes off and comes on and goes off. Mostly on my laptop, not on my husband's.
Huh, that's interesting. Cheryl, you've got a finger up.
I do. I have a question, but I'm going to ask you if you started streaming because this is technology and we should be sharing it. Anyways, you said something about monitoring your internet and you said get a ping tracker or something. I would like
You're right. I did hit the streaming button, so we are live. This is the San Carlos Computer Club. I am Scott Stimson. You can find us at sccclub.org. I am from International Computer Solutions, and if you have computer questions out there anywhere on the internet, I'd love to help try and solve those, find solutions to your questions for you. And on that token, if you need help out there, I'm easy to reach. You can try remote at internationalcs.net. Good to see you guys at a new time for many of you because of daylight savings. Nothing has changed on my end, so this is still a 10 o'clock meeting for Arizona Sonora time. I see Chester has joined us and the other Judy has joined us. I'm sorry, there's a Judy and another other Judy, but that's just how we roll. And Cheryl, we were talking about being able to monitor your internet connection using an application, which I think Bill is already using an application to monitor your internet connection. But the one that I use a lot is called Ping Plotter. And what Ping Plotter does is it sends out a packet of information to a specific location of your choosing. When you install Ping Plotter, it has a half a dozen that you can choose from. Hi, Mom. I forgot to mention Mom and Dad are on, too. I bet you guys are enjoying being connected from Alaska an hour later than before. You must be muted because we can't hear you.
I want to show you one thing really quick. Can you see that?
Oh, what fun.
Can you see the temperature on the thermometer?
Not quite.
Can't quite read it. You're going to have to tell us what it is. Right. We can't see it.
It's about 23 Fahrenheit.
Skiing weather.
It's wonderful. It snowed all day yesterday. So you can just bet anybody out of school is having a good time in it.
That is awesome. What a great way to social distance. Go find a sledding hill.
We're almost to the point where we aren't going to have to do that anymore. I think they're soon to open up for anybody who wants a shot. We're in pretty good shape up here. Surprise.
That's the news I was hearing. I think they're going to open it up to 16-year-olds and older.
Yeah.
And Anchorage is 100% open with masks and social distancing.
Well, there's still plenty of people wearing them. We're not, we're not talking idiots.
Yeah.
Just some of us. Anyway, I just wanted to give you the highlights, so I'm done.
Well, so Ping Plotter, as we were talking about before, what it does is it sends out a packet of information to a specific location, and it tracks how long it took to get there and be acknowledged. And it shows you a map of each route, each router in that route that you have to hit to get to that point. And so it's a good tool for diagnosing where your problem is, especially as we add more and more devices. You've got a device from Cox Cable, and then you're putting your own router on it. Maybe you have an extender that's on that or a sub-network. Maybe you have a network that's off of another network. And so Ping Plotter will trace through that equipment to your internet connection to the destination and give you an idea of what the health of that route is.
Let me point out on Ping Plotter that if you see a very high droppage, like 100% at a intermediate destination, all that means is that they are not accepting the ping command. So it's not a sign that you're having a failure there. The failure is if you don't get to the final location and your drop packet is like 3 or 4% or something.
Yeah, thank you, Dave, and welcome. You're absolutely right. One of the problems with using a utility like PingPlotter is it's dependent on those routers accepting a ping request. And so if they've blocked it for whatever reason, security reasons, firewall reasons, then you might end up with this gaping hole in your network map where there is no information. And it looks at it as 100% packet loss, but it's really just because those destinations aren't reporting back. And so using PingPlotter, you want a little bit of experience with it just to have an idea what you're looking at. What's nice about the visual map over time is that you can share it with other people. You can take pictures of it. You can ask, what does this mean? You can learn from it. Bill, you were using a network connectivity monitoring tool. What was that?
I forget the name of it. I think I just
that makes a horrible recommendation if you can't remember the name.
Yeah. Well, it worked really well. What it was telling me is I was having 25 network drops in internet drops in a day, and you know, nobody will come out. It's still COVID-19 kind of stuff, so nobody will come out and check the connections. Every time you phone them, they just say, "Well, check your cable connections, reset your router, yada 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 yada." So there is no solution to the problem as of yet. But once things open up, we're going to start complaining.
Bill and I have gone back and forth on this, and I've come to the conclusion it has nothing to do with anything in your house, and it's out there on the pole somewhere.
Yeah. I suspect there's a connection problem somewhere between here and the box out on the road, I suppose. Because I've checked everything possible. Every time they say, oh, well, we'll send you a new cable splitter. I've got about four of them sitting around. And the first thing is, oh, well, make sure your connections are tight. Have you gone out and checked your connections? Yes, I have. You know, that's their standard response to everything.
Certainly, yeah. Well, and we learned in Alaska using GCI that the splitter is really important. I didn't, when I was a kid helping hook up TVs with cable, I never gave a lot of appreciation to the splitter in cables. I didn't pay attention to the ohms, what kind of connectivity it has. But when it comes to internet connections, it really matters. And high definition TV really matters what style splitter you're using.
Well, I'm pretty sure they've sent me every one they have.
Yeah, that's the place to get the splitter from, is from your, not out of an old crusty box in the shed, but one new from your cable provider.
How did they know, Bill?
How do they know you have
an old crusty one in the shed?
Oh, I got
no, about, that's me.
I got about a dozen of them somewhere. I'm sure.
I know.
Yeah, you collect that. It's in the drawer.
It's from the old days of splitting your TV a couple different directions.
Bill is a crusty one.
Yeah, well, everything I touch is crusty by the time I get done with it.
Well, not your new shirt. Happy birthday, Bill.
Happy birthday, Bill.
Happy birthday. Yay.
Well, I got my 73rd birthday on Saturday, and on
yesterday was Monday.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Anyway, I now have my appointment for my first Moderna shot.
Bravo.
Congratulations.
Bravo. Yeah.
Haven't got the shot, but I got an appointment.
Is that a direct result of your birthday?
The birth year, you have to be born in 48 or earlier at the moment. That would be me.
Actually, it's been so screwy in Alberta. But anyways, they told us that as of Monday morning, we would be able to book Bill's age group. Actually, it was supposed to be Tuesday morning because they started 1 year at a time. So if you were born in 47 and then if you're born in 48, you know, going forward. Only thing is they neglected to tell us that the pharmacies, as opposed to the Alberta health clinics, the pharmacies, there were a few of them, that were booking people as of last Wednesday. So all the people that were in the know, just because they happened to phone their pharmacy or for some reason they found out, they all got bookings, you know, the day it was supposed to open. So that was a little frustrating. And then you guys were talking about whether or not you were a resident. I have this unique situation where if I had been born 8 days earlier, I would be eligible right now for my shot. So everybody, you know, I tell them I'm 64 and they say, whoa, but you're turning 65 this year. And I say, no. And I should just say, yeah, you know, and just go yeah. in. And then when they look at my ID, go, oh, well, you know, but I'm here now. I may as well have it.
You could try dressing up as an old lady and going to Florida.
I don't have to dress up as an old lady. I've got the look down, but I don't have the documentation. So
I like how you point out Bill's age. My wife's been doing that. You know, your age group is coming up.
Thank you so much.
And I'm like, hey, look, I'm only 3 years older than you.
So Cheryl, do you really think you're going to calculate your age off of your proof? What do you use for proof of your age?
Well, you're supposed to show your Alberta health card or your driver's license or whatever. And my birthday is 57. My birth year is 1957. And it had to be 1956. But being born on January 8th, you know, I'm just 8 days out of the.
But there's two things. They're now allowing people with chronic conditions to go and get their shot pretty soon. And they have a whole list of the chronic conditions. Only you don't have to have a doctor's slip to say you have a chronic condition. It's on the honor system, so anybody can have a chronic condition now, and I'm sure there's going to be a few of them that are extra.
Isn't living in Alberta a chronic condition?
Yeah. Smart ass BC people. But speaking of BC people, they have an interesting thing going on there. The whole city of Prince Rupert is in northern BC. Right, it almost touches Alaska. They are now in the process of vaccinating every single person in that city. They've got a real outbreak going, and it's, I believe, over 50% Indigenous people. And they hope to have everybody in that city vaccinated by the end of the week, I think is what they're trying.
Yeah, I have some report on that. They've been deciding that rather than going up six times, one for every cohort, they can just send a big group up and just do it all at once. And we're doing that in a lot of the northern communities in BC because they're more susceptible too. Once it gets in, they're pretty close in some of those communities, you know?
Right. Right. Wow. Well, that's cool. Who would have thought a few months ago that the United States would be turning into the pillar example of getting vaccinated?
I wonder why that is.
What changed? all of a sudden, we're hearing talk about having extra vaccines to hand out to other countries.
Perfect.
It's like, wait, where did that come from?
Perfect.
I saw a news article down here that said Mexico hopes that the United States will send excess vaccines here soon.
To which place? To Mexico?
To Mexico. Oh, okay. To Mexico. And I was aware of that. At the same time, I thought I just saw something where they have made no commitment to give any extra vaccines to Mexico.
Right. I think that was a nudge that maybe
of course
a nice thing for the U.S. to do.
Yeah.
What vaccine, Scott, do you know which vaccine is coming into Mexico?
Pfizer.
Okay. It's been Pfizer and the Russian vaccine.
What? Sonora, it's Pfizer.
Okay. AstraZeneca, is it? I don't know if I'm saying it right. The one England, is it England that's been using it that's decided to hold it, or at least Europe's holding it, something like that?
Yeah.
They've released it again.
Did they?
But I know Europe is in really rough shape, and apparently a lot of it is they were trying to negotiate better prices, and so they were having to wait longer. And for every dollar that they negotiated the price down, It was wasted by just, I forget how many days of locking down Italy or something, you know. So it was penny wise, pound foolish in that regard. But they're getting their doses for several dollars less per dose.
Wow, that really was surprising when Italy locked down again.
Yeah.
I thought I read, too, that AstraZeneca was down in, being given down in the southern states, Oaxaca, and but they maybe stopped that. Did you read that, Scott?
No, I'm sorry. I don't know anything about that. I do know that the Russian vaccine was given to Mexico. I know the Mexicans are concerned about getting the Russian vaccine. It's funny that we live in a world where we're so aware of what... Like Judy, Mom, Judy just got hers. It was the Johnson & Johnson, one shot.
Wow. There's a lot of people that would like to have only one shot.
That's me.
Well, that would make it so much easier.
Okay, we're all going to watch you, Judy.
I had it Sunday morning, so I'm still here.
Okay.
So far, so good.
Great.
Okay, we had Moderna.
Yeah, me.
Moderna?
Yeah.
We did too here. And the second shot was kind of, for me, one day rough. Not rough, but, you know, I just didn't do anything that day. Laid around, did nothing. And then was fine.
We got the chills.
My husband did that.
Bill woke up about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning with the chills. I got the chills about to maybe 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The next day.
Yeah. That's kind of what happened here. I had the dry heaves for a little bit last day, like for maybe 4 or 5 heaves. I don't know. But it surprised me because I haven't had that since I was young and drinking. So
I had making this sound wonderful. You got the Pfizer, Chester?
Yeah, and it was a non-event. As a matter of fact, I accused the lady of not even sticking me. No, it was an event, nothing. It's been a month.
So I don't know if you guys are aware, but Semana Santa is about to happen.
Oh boy.
Here locally. I've got an ongoing debate with my buddy about whether this was planned or not, because up until just last week, we didn't know of what the plan was, that they were just going to let people come. And there was nothing published. There was no incentive to keep people out of town. There's no movement or initiative to try and shut down Semana Santa up until last week. And now they're passing around a couple of PDFs that outline...
Well, you guys seem to be pretty active every weekend.
About last week, they started passing around some PDFs that outline how they're going to treat the beaches, the curfew on beaches and restaurants, and how they're going to keep down the traffic. But it feels like Semana Santa is going to happen under restrictions. So, yes, Linda, there seems to be activity happening every weekend.
Well, I heard the people that bought my house, there's a party there every weekend. And they turned it into a rental, just like my neighbor across the street. So my neighbor said there's beer cans everywhere.
My debate with my buddies, he's like, we're not at any more risk. You're not going out. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going out at all. I'm not even going to OXXO to restock on something. Because what this will represent are the masses that are not worried.
I wouldn't go anywhere. I heard the stores every...
This is going to be a town full of an unproportional ratio of people that are probably passing the coronavirus around because they're not worried about it in the first place.
Is Tequila's open yet?
I would imagine they are, but I don't know.
Tequila's is open and they have been. They just are closed one day a week.
So they're doing business as usual, and it's just the same as any other place around here. As you're coming and going, you're wearing masks, and when you're sitting at the table, you can take them off to eat.
And it's always better to eat outside. You know, that's my thing.
No, I agree completely. I don't know why you'd go anywhere and not function outside right now. That's the only way to do it. The other thing is that we're in green right now. So going to Tequila's isn't that big of a deal. course, there are Mexicans telling me that it feels, the green feels more political than anything else. And there's some truth to that, because I was following the numbers and our infection numbers don't feel like they've dropped locally. If you go and check the Secretary of Health and the numbers for Guaymas, there's a steady flow of on again, off again infections. But I think the rest of Sonora is looking better than it was. And so now we're in green. Or if anybody locally that's with us now knows better, correct me. But that's the last I heard. Should we get on to some tech topics? I'm sorry, did I interrupt somebody?
Oh, I was going to say that we won't be going down until after Semana Santa if we go. I do have a tech topic.
Yes.
Because of the fact that LastPass is going to change their MO, we've switched to one password, and we have to pay for that, but it's a family plan that allows us to use lots of different instruments, you know, our laptops and our phones at the same time.
Paul, did you compare and contrast this to paying for LastPass?
Yeah, well, not personally. My sister-in-law, who's my tech advisor that lives with us, she told me all the advantages. And the first advantage I like is with my cell phone, my Motorola cell phone, to open first password, I can use my fingerprint. I don't have to know a password.
Sure.
So I like that right away.
Now, that is a feature that's in LastPass, even the free version of it. But for those of you that haven't been paying attention, today is the day that LastPass will automatically set your free account for only being used with mobile devices or desktop devices, not both. And the first one you sign into is going to determine which license you're using for free. So this morning, if you signed into LastPass, that is the device type that you are using for free. And if you want to use the other device, and don't look at me like you didn't know this, because we've been talking about this, but today is the day. Today is the day. If you sign into LastPass on your phone, your free account is forever for the phone and mobile devices, phones and tablets. If you signed into it using a web browser like Chrome, then your free LastPass account is now forever for your desktop devices. This is just a little nudge. They're trying to get their market share to start subscribing. And so they're creating a little bit of inconvenience. Before, they were relying on features, but the features didn't draw me in. I always thought they would, though. I like that you can have a family plan, so you can, or a business plan, so you can share passwords. You can create folders of passwords and share them with an account that has access to the same folder of passwords. And I like the next of kin feature that allows you to assign an email address to get an email if you're inactive for a period of time. And that email address can request the list of passwords in the event that you are no longer capable of getting access to your passwords. So next of kin, if you were to pass away or end up in a state where you can't manage the computer, somebody like my wife or a child could ask for access and get it. So those are things that come along with the paid version of LastPass. Yes, Bill. Well, and now the third thing that would be on that list is using it everywhere.
It was supposed to happen today.
Today, the 16th of March.
Okay, because the first thing I did this morning was sign in to LastPass on my laptop, but I just signed into LastPass.
You are now bronzed into your, but you signed into your on your phone.
I just signed in on my phone as well, so it hasn't.
Is there any mention about it changing on either of those sign-ins?
No, not this morning. I've gotten email messages before, I believe, from LastPass. It says, you know, like, and I know I signed in this morning just before you became on the laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at my phone right now,
But Scott, you mobile devices.
Okay, so
sign on a mobile device. The question would be, Bill, can you sign in on your laptop?
Well, he signed on his laptop to begin with, and then he did his phone.
Yeah. Oh, but the second time, I just tried logging in again, and it says, no, you got to go premium on my phone. So it has now locked me into the laptop. But it didn't.
I suspect to keep people happy, they're going to have to come up with a oops button in your account.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure they'll allow you to switch over.
Yeah, I'm sure that they're going to – I mean, I don't see it right now. I'm in LastPass right now. But there is no – there's nothing in – because I signed in on my desktop. I made this commitment to myself a couple weeks ago. I still wasn't sure whether I was going to pay for LastPass. But so if I was going to go forward with the free account, which one mattered to me most? And I decided the web browsers mattered more to me than my mobile device. But that is me, and that's definitely not everybody. Since I made that commitment to myself, I have purposely not used my phone for LastPass for the last several weeks. And it is hard because I want to pull it out like a black book when I'm not sitting in front of my computer. And I just can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Not without paying for it.
Well, and one of the major things I use it for on the phone is credit card numbers or my health card number. You know, it's got those things stored in there. And I use it all the time. I pull it up when I need one of those numbers.
Hey, you know what? I just found a new setting in LastPass. My account information says account type, free user, with a button to upgrade to premium. Right under that, it says active device types. Computers, 3 device switches left. What I can expect from LastPass free, March 16th. We are affected. I'm looking for device switching. It reads on the surface like the DVD authorization that we used to do when you'd start up a Windows computer. You'll have 3 opportunities to switch your active device type and explore what's right for you. Please note that all of your devices sync automatically, so you'll never lose access to anything stored in your vault or be locked out of your account due to these changes, regardless of whether you use computers or mobile devices. They don't go into great detail, but they do say you have 3 opportunities to switch which style of login you're going to be doing. I don't even have a good vocabulary for this because this is an odd way for us to be dealing with a service. The service is making a distinct difference between mobile platforms and desktop platforms. Whereas at some point, that's going to be very difficult to tell the difference of. There are phones that run Linux. Couldn't it behave as a desktop platform? I mean, they're really talking about the mobile app, I guess, for iOS or for Android. But that doesn't change the fact that LastPass has proven to be a really good service. I get nothing out of saying that. I've really become reliant on it. I appreciate it being free, but if you did not want to change, it seems like something worth paying for. I mean, I do pay for software I think is worth paying for. I don't deal in any pirated software. I don't know if you guys realize that. Everything in my world is either already free, open source, or I did buy it. Because I just don't like pirated software. I like pirated movies. And speaking of which, one of my recommendations is a movie I just watched. Maybe you guys knew it existed. I had never heard of It. It's a movie called Quicksand from 1950, and it stars Mickey Rooney, who I'm sure you guys are aware who Mickey Rooney is. I grew up with Mickey Rooney being almost a cartoonish fellow, very humorous, always in funny shows. And this movie is not that. He's a bad boy in this movie. The movie Quicksand, its plot is all about the main character getting deeper and deeper into debt with dangerous people because he's decided to get hooked up with the wrong woman.
What platform did you watch it on, Scott?
Well, and that's kind of what sparked this topic out of the blue is that I found it by accident because I installed a new Kodi plugin called The Boys, and they had a section called Classics, and it had a huge collection of movies from the 30s on up to the 60s. And so I was just going through that list, and I'm like, well, I know who this guy is. I wonder if this is any good. And it was a very enjoyable movie. If you know Mickey Rooney, it'll be a really weird way to see him, because you see this boyish imp, and then he's getting into fights, and he's holding guns on people, and he even at one point thinks he killed someone. I'm like, my God, this is a Mickey Rooney movie? And he's hooked up with two different women. So he's got the good girl. The posters for this movie literally oppose the good girl against the bad girl. So I used Kodi, and it was enough to make me think that maybe one of these meetings we should go through Kodi and how to set up a plugin. Kodi has recently updated to version 19, and it's the most stable it's ever been. And if you are interested in this plugin for the classic movies, we could take a meeting and go through installing Kodi and installing a plugin and how to use the plugin if people were interested in that.
Do you have to have a VPN to use Kodi?
Not necessarily. I mean, VPNs more are for your own privacy, but I don't use a VPN with Kodi because I know that in the industry, they're not going after me for watching movies. If anything, they're going after the people that are hosting movies. But there's been no pursuit of people like us.
Right, but when I try and log on to some things, it says it's not available in your location.
Well, and keep in mind that when you use a program like Kodi and a plugin, it's very similar to Streamio, where the content is coming from could be questionable legally in that country, right? Okay. And so it doesn't really have anything to do with regional restrictions.
Okay.
So if you guys were interested in that, I'd be happy to go through that. We would use Windows 10 as a platform, but it would be the same on Macintosh or on Android. We'd use Windows 10 because I would have it in front of me and be able to present what I'm doing.
That would be good. I'd like that.
Yeah?
I would too.
I have a recommendation of an old movie.
Oh yeah, Chester, what do you got? And I'm going to put, before we go into that, because it seems like we should go into some recommendations, what if I schedule next week to be a Kodi demonstration? Are you guys interested in that?
Sure.
Does that
work? Sure.
Yeah? I see a thumbs up from Bill. I hear a couple shures. Yeah. Okay. Kodi for next week. I'm making a note.
The movie I'd recommend is On the Waterfront with Marlon Brando.
Okay. On the Waterfront. A Marlon Brando movie, it's got to be good, right?
It is good.
I was completely caught off guard by this movie. It's just like, really? That's Mickey Rooney? And he's little, too, so it's really funny to see him as a tough guy. On the Waterfront. Would anybody else like to bring some recommendations to the table?
Well, as long as you're bringing in old great movies, which On the Waterfront definitely is. Betty and I, every couple of years, we watch one of the best acting movies of all time. Fabulous old movie called 12 Angry Men. I'm sure you've all seen it. If not, it's worth watching over and over again. 12 Angry Men.
Ball Stalking.
That is an excellent movie. I've seen a number of different times throughout my life. I know it as one of my dad's favorite movies.
Your dad uses that in training when he's doing training with companies because he thinks it's so powerful.
I was going to say that what's amazing about that movie is how it all happens in a room. There's no special effects. There's no special action. It's all dialogue and interpersonal relationships. It's just really enlightening in how people treat each other.
That, and it's 12 of the best actors in Hollywood at the time.
Hey, Sid! Sid's joined us.
Yeah, welcome from very cold Anchor Point, Alaska.
How cold is it, Sid?
Minus 6 degrees.
Oh my gosh. It's 23 here.
Are you sitting in a truck?
Yeah, hang on. Let me give you a shot of my office here. Can you see me now?
Yep.
All right.
Here, I'm going to make it full screen on my feed here.
There we go. All right, so this is my workspace right now. We're finally tearing out the bridge.
Wow.
So, Scott, if you want more recommendations from me, I'd like to mention the two best movies of individual genres. One is the best Western, I believe, of all time, is High Noon. I'm sure everybody has seen that. And I think the best detective movie of all time is L.A. Confidential.
Those are both great recommendations. And actually, I know High Noon is supposed... I'm sorry, I just don't watch a lot of Westerns. I know I'm supposed to watch it, though, because it's supposed to be an awesome movie. L.A. Confidential is an awesome movie.
Well, if we're going with old movies, I got a recommendation. We've covered other genres, but the war movies, Stalag 17?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Stalag 17?
Yeah. It's a non-war movie, a non-violent war movie, but it's a great movie. Another one takes place in a very limited set.
Oh.
Or Stalag 13?
I have a John Wayne one to recommend called The Searchers.
Great movie.
Searchers.
The Searchers.
Is that another war movie?
No, it's an Indian movie.
Sid knows that I've never been much of a war movie fan or a cowboy movie fan, a Western movie fan. So there are a few that I've watched and enjoyed, but it's not a genre I dip into very often. You said John Wayne. I was caught off guard. I am currently watching The Longest Day. Yeah, I've never seen it before. And I was surprised. Nobody told me John Wayne was in it.
Everybody's in that movie.
Yeah. Well, and I say I'm currently in the middle of it. I'm enjoying it, but it's taking me forever to get through. It is like a 3-hour movie.
Boy, it's a long movie, but a great one.
And you got to read lots of subtitles because they're showing it from the different perspectives of the different countries. You're watching from the French perspective. You're watching from the German perspective. And they do it in the native languages. But so far, it's proved to be a really good movie. It's, you know, I have a passion for mediocre movies because I like to work while I'm watching them. It's frustrating when I find a really good one. I can't get any work done.
Especially if you have to read subtitles.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm here working on the website and I'm like, oh, I got to rewind that again. It's a 3-hour movie and I still haven't made it past the first 30 minutes.
What's the one with Humphrey Bogart? And he's pulling the little boat through the swamp.
Is this The Searchers you're talking about?
No, that's African Queen.
Yeah.
African Queen, yeah. No, The Searchers is concerning a Indian's capture two of his nieces, and he's searching for them. And one of the things I particularly liked about it was the theme song was from the Civil War, a beautiful song.
Well, that sounds very interesting.
Yeah, the theme song was named Lorena. It was very popular at the end of the Civil War when everybody wanted to go home.
Well, I think I'm going to put those on my list of older movies that I should watch. And I've gained a new appreciation for old war movies because I've done a few of them now recently. And they're much more interesting than I had given myself the impression of when I was younger.
I've got a suggestion.
What you got there, Fred?
How about The Great Escape?
Oh, yes.
Oh, The Great Escape.
Oh, yes.
Steve McQueen.
I haven't watched that one in years. That's another example of one that I've seen. Not a big war movie fan, but definitely really enjoyed the movie. What was the one that I just finished? The river... The bridge over the river.
Why?
We all know.
Well, somebody mentioned that in one of our meetings, so I went ahead and watched it, and that was an awesome movie. I was blown away. It was like It was a war film, but it was also an adventure story. It was a little bit James Bond. It was a comedy at times. There was so much going on in that movie that I would never have appreciated if somebody hadn't said, you ought to watch that movie.
And the soundtrack.
Yeah. And the soundtrack, yeah.
This is an old movie, but I'm wondering if any of you are watching the PBS or CNN, the Lincoln series. CNN. It's a new series on, and it's been quite enlightening in terms of him as a character. They seem to have gotten a lot of information. I don't know if it's made up, but seems real, about the struggles that he and his mind went through as it was changing, and all kinds of new information about his wife, who's had a bad name sort of all these years, maybe not deserved, but maybe deserved. Anyway.
I think it was deserved.
So is this a documentary series or a dramatization?
No. There's people who stand in for Lincoln or different characters, and you see them move, but it's really a document. Blech.
It's called the Lincoln series.
Say it again.
What's the exact name of it?
It's just Lincoln.
Oh, Lincoln.
Uh huh.
Would we use the term docudrama with it?
Yes. Thank you. I couldn't get that last part. I lost it in my tongue somewhere.
A docudrama. That's cool.
But it's not really acted out as like with actors saying things. It's people who are talking about what they have learned, while characters might be showing a dance scene at the White House or something like that.
So it's got like a voiceover.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. That's not old, but it's about old news.
Well,
There was a movie that I watched when I was a kid that changed my life, because it took place in Australia. And one of the scenes, this lady is going to bed, and she gets into bed, and then she screams, and she jumps out of bed and throws back the covers, and there's a shrunken skull at the foot of her bed. Oh. And I forget the name of the movie, but I found it one time, but the name escapes me. But the way it changed my life is, for probably 5 years, I slept in a fetal position. I did not put my feet down. And probably for another 5 years, I would get into bed and I would slowly sweep the bottom of the bed with my feet before I could go to sleep.
That's funny.
That's really funny. Reminds you of Huntsman's in Australia, huh, Scott?
Yeah, right. Or just monsters in the closet. That's all Huntsman's were. Real monsters.
Well, we were told to check our beds, and we didn't do it. And then again, we were told to check our bed, and so we did throw the covers back, and I'll be darned, there was a huntsman. They're about the size of your hand. If you haven't seen them, they're pretty big.
And the dingoes will eat your baby if you're not careful.
That's what I was told, but they left my babies alone. I put them out, but no, they didn't get them.
Hey, I've got one other recommendation if you're into dumb sci-fi that's really interesting. I don't know if you guys have paid any attention to the Snowpiercer series. I think it's on HBO Max right now, so you might have to, if you're not using those services, you might have to find it in your own means. Snowpiercer was a movie a number of years ago. Very dumb premise. Planet has frozen over because of global warming problems, and the only surviving humans are riding on a train that's perpetually making a circle around the globe. Horrible premise. One of the stupidest ideas I've ever heard of. What is really interesting in the movie, and they've done a great job in the TV series, is how the train is divided into class sections, and the story is really a metaphor for class struggles. And so you have like the tail section, the mid section, the upper class compartment sections. These are thousands of cars on this train. And there's a train revolution that goes on, and the government that they have to form afterwards. And I can't stop watching it. It is a great TV show. I mean, really based on a dumb premise, but a great TV show. It's got Jennifer Connelly in it. It's got Sean Bean in it. I mean, it's got real actors in it. David Diggs is in it as well. He's done a number of different things that I've enjoyed that are escaping me at the moment. It's also available on iTunes if you wanted to check it out through an iTunes account. But Snowpiercer, don't let the description stop you from trying it out because it reads like a really bad movie, but it's very interesting. I mean, I'm talking about the TV show, but it's all based on the movie that came out a few years ago.
It's a pretty decent movie, Scott. I've seen it.
But it You've reminds seen it?
Me, or... It reminds me of another movie, which is a really good movie. And I can't remember the name, but I'm sure some of you folks saw it. And what it was is that you had so much time to live, and it was a tradable item. And you had a watch, and the time clicked down till your watch ran out. And people had big blocks of time, and there was a big class difference between who had so much time. And it's interwoven with a great human interest love story. So it's a very good movie. Do anybody remember the name of it?
You know, I want to. It's a modern movie. I want to say Justin Timberlake was in it.
I don't know actors, and I don't think it's modern. I mean, I don't think it's very modern. I've seen it a while back, 10 years.
Just in time, 2011, in a future where people stop aging after 25 and need to buy time to live, the rich become immortal while the others cease to exist.
That may be it.
Yeah, I think this is the one. And what I remember is the concept was really good. The story was a little weak. I'm not a big Justin Timberlake fan, but the concept was amazing because basically if you had enough money, you could live forever. But everybody had time limiting. They had watches that limited their own lifespan. And the only way to live past that was to purchase more time.
Another very good movie that has to do with time is a great uplifting comedy called Defending Your Life.
Oh, that's an awesome movie.
Yeah, Defending Your Life.
Isn't that an Al Brooks movie?
Right, right.
Yeah, and who else was in it? Was Meryl Streep in that?
I think she was the other one, yeah.
Defending Your Life. And what you're doing is you go up to you find out that dying is a process of determining whether you deserve to go to heaven or not.
You have to defend your existence to see which direction you go in. And the great part of this movie is while you're there, you can eat 24 hours a day without getting full of the greatest food you've ever eaten. And all us old folks are foodies. So, I mean, that is really heaven.
I remember specifically from that movie a point where Al Brooks is trying to he doesn't think he has much to defend, and so he's having trouble in indulging because he feels like he's still getting judged right now up here in heaven. He doesn't have enough weight down on earth to go to heaven. He's sure not going to make it worse by being judged up in heaven.
I got another suggestion for you. One called
Certainly, Brett. Wow, our list today is getting long.
Miss Scarlet and the Duke.
Miss Scarlet and the Duke. I've never heard
Miss
of that.
Scarlet and the Duke. It's a series on PBS. It's I think 6 episodes long. And
on PBS.
Yeah.
Is it a Western comedy?
I think it's
musical.
I think it's in Toronto, and it's in the early 1900s or late 1800s.
Okay.
The premise is a lady wants to become a private detective, and the Duke is a cop.
Oh, okay. It's one of those team-ups.
Yeah. Designed.
Take your time, Fred.
It reflects the period very well. Another one is Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries.
Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of like Angela Lansbury?
No, this is, yeah, well, except she's...
lives in the most murderous town in New England?
No, this Australia. This one was in Sydney, I think.
Australia.
Yeah, it's Australian.
Before we sign off, I am so curious of what's behind Paul.
Paul took a short journey to Mars and hasn't made his way back yet.
Yeah, it was what I did last summer.
Is
that where you went last summer?
Yeah, that's right.
It doesn't look hot or cold.
I figured there was no COVID there, so I went there.
Fun. I have some new information on the Lincoln docuseries. It's called a docuseries. It's on CNN. Okay. Abraham Lincoln. And it's Divided We Stand.
Oh, that's the name of it.
Yeah.
Well, like every week, I will put links to this on the blog post I make for our meeting. I try to summarize it off of Wikipedia and leave you with a link to help you find it through a legitimate source on the internet. If you can't find it in your regional area through a legitimate source, then we've had those meetings too. There is a way to watch it, and you know people that can help you figure that out. And recommendations are not just TV and movies, any books, websites, podcasts, apps, anything that you happen to be using that you think would have value to one of us, please feel free to share. Recommendations are open to anything.
Question. Since I have that little COVID vaccine card that doesn't fit anywhere, does anybody have an app that you can put it onto your phone? I scanned it in and put it on my phone, but
you take a picture?
Yeah, I did.
But, that isn't good enough?
Well, I don't know. Don't you think there should be an app for it?
It feels like there should be something.
Yeah, I couldn't find one, but the card is not like a credit card. It's bigger than a credit card, so it doesn't really fit in your wallet.
And they tell you not to fold it.
Oh, they do? I didn't.
No.
My husband, of course, folded his to put it in his pocket, and they ripped it out and flattened it and said, you do not want to fold this.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you. I won't fold it.
I don't think you really need it because the chip they put in will be red wherever you go.
That's right. When they chipped you, you don't need your card anymore.
Hold up your arm for them to scan, huh?
Well, Judy, I agree with you. I think we should be on the lookout for there's got to be an app. There's got to be some government sanctioned app that information is in. But it seems like you're going to need the card until there's something well known and well adopted.
Because are they going to believe me if I have to fly someplace and I have to show proof? Are they going to believe a picture on my phone?
I don't even think that our flying in the United States is accepting vaccination certificates. I think that it's only COVID tests. So if you're going to fly, I think you have to have a test within like 72 hours that shows that you're COVID free.
That's to fly internationally into the States. But that should not be the case once you're vaccinated.
Well, has that changed? I know Alaska had those rules in place where you had to show that you had passed a COVID test, that you'd like you study for it. Like you're not infectious. You haven't had COVID. And I haven't heard any words of that being lifted. Mom, do you know anything about Alaska lifting that requirement for people flying in?
No, as far as I know, let's see. Justin's coming back from Boise with his daughter. He's had his shot. I think she has too. So no, I haven't heard of anything where they have to be tested as well if they have their shot cards.
Okay.
But I haven't checked it out.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to know. I haven't heard anything about the requirements changing.
Right. I know that the Canadian government is in talks. One of our representatives is in a major, it's not the World Health Authority, but it's another one that's talking about the travel passport, the vaccine passport situation. But all they've said is that we're at the table in discussions.
When I used to travel to Africa and South America, I had like a vaccine passport that had all my, it was like the, not the CDC, but something else issued that.
Yellow fever. You know,
yeah, all those, I had a little passport, but all that was it.
Right, especially Africa.
Right.
Well, you used to just have a shot record card that went into your passport.
Yeah.
That seems sensible.
Well, we have an immunization record card, which is a small card. But also in Alberta, we've got, I've got an app on my phone that has all of my vaccination, my immunization records on it. And I can log into it and I can print it and, you know, I could.
That's interesting. That's part of your health care there in Canada.
Well, not in Canada. This is the Alberta app. It's an Alberta health app.
Okay.
And
I wonder if they'll add your COVID-19 vaccination status to that app.
Yeah. Like I can see all my.
I just put mine into the passport.
Your card into your passport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why you have to have your passport with you all the time, wouldn't you? If you wanted to go into.
Okay.
If they required a hospital, your. Card that you've had your shots or
actually what you're hinting at is this new world that we're going to move into where if you want to go see a movie you got to prove you've been vaccinated. If you want to go eat in certain restaurants you need to be able to prove you've been vaccinated. And so that's really what you're hinting at is what how because you're not going to carry your passport around for that, but you are going to have to carry around this vaccine credential.
That chip makes a lot of sense.
I'm sorry, you guys both broke up.
I'll be quiet.
Judy, what were you saying?
I said it's a little piece of paper. It's heavy paper. It's nothing that's going to last a long time.
It's like a Social Security card from the United States where you're not supposed to bend or fold or photocopy, but it deteriorates over time.
And mine's filled out.
Either.
And mine's filled out in pencil, you know, so.
Yours is filled out in pencil.
Yeah, it could be easily changed, you know. But what we did is we scanned it on the scanner printer and reduced it. So I don't know if it's still official if you reduce it so you can put it in your wallet.
The early Social Security cards were made in metal. I still have my father's.
Oh, wow.
That
in itself is just really says a lot about the change in times, doesn't it? I've always felt like my Social Security card was like setting me up to lose track of my Social Security.
Well, metal Social Security cards were something you could order, but it wasn't your official card.
Yeah. And it wasn't free.
Nope.
Well, Should we move on to some more tech topics?
I've got one more suggestion on things to watch.
All right, Fred.
Taran.
You might have to spell that.
T-A-H-R-A-N.
P-E-H.
P-E-H.
Yes. Taran.
Yeah.
Taran. Is this a movie?
It's a series, huh?
It's a series. I think it's six shows again.
And where is that? Where do you watch it?
I think I watched it on Apple TV, but I'm not sure. But the thing about it is, it was so interesting. I don't like the ones that have the subtitles, and this one had at least four different languages in it, and they were in the native languages, but it was a good enough production that I enjoyed even having to read the thing.
Well, that really makes a difference with subtitles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mentioned that I'm watching The Longest Day, and I tried it a couple of different ways. I downloaded full subtitles for it, and the first time I went through the beginning of it, where you're just doing dialogue in French and dialogue in German, the subtitles were immense. I was having to pause it and read all the dialogue. And then I got a hold of a copy of the movie where the subtitles were part of the production. They weren't like an afterthought. They were, we're making this movie for American audiences, and we're going to have these German and these French and these Italian scenes, and they're going to need to know what's going on. This is kind of putting you in the mentality of the production people, because what they did is they ignored lots of dialogue and only subtitled the dialogue that pushed the story forward. And so it was very appropriate what you were reading. If you go to watch this movie, an official release of it for the United States or English-speaking people would be the most comfortable, because the subtitles came on and they were very easy to read. They weren't overwhelming, and they added right directly to the story. And sure, there was dialogue happening in the background that I didn't really know what they were saying, but it didn't matter. It was all for atmosphere. I gained a real appreciation for the producer, and it sounds like this Tyron, Fred, they've done the same thing, is they've had a real appreciation for the product that they're producing, more than just translating, but making sure the story flows. Well, that's cool. This is a huge list. You know, every time we've got a lot of recommendations, I like to put these on my blog post. And the blog post takes longer and longer to get out every time there's one more good show that we should be watching.
Sorry, we're making you work so hard, Scott.
Yeah. Well, you're just waiting for the gold. That's all. It's just taking longer to get it to you.
We'll make it even harder for you. Yeah. I've got a podcast recommendation I want to drop. It's called History That Doesn't Suck. He starts at the beginning of the American Revolution, and he does 30-some-odd-minute episodes, and he does them in story form. It's really interesting, and the guy's really good at doing it.
It's History That Doesn't Suck.
Yep.
This is new, right? This just started up a couple months ago, didn't it?
It's been around for a couple years.
Can you drop in, or can you start at the beginning, or how do you do it?
I would start at the beginning, because it's kind of how he does it. It's episodical, but he's telling the history as a story in order. I'm just up to the point where Benedict Arnold's betrayed everybody, and the way he does it is really cool.
I'm sure you're not impressed with the actual betrayal, but the way he does it, it's the technique that you find so interesting, right?
Well, if you watch the TV show Turn,
yep,
about Washington spies, this is so much better than the way they handled Benedict Arnold. I mean, he gives you kind of a two-sided, he really does give you a two-sided version of the story. He'll tell the Brit, when he did the Boston Massacre, he gives the official British report, he gives you what the Loyalist paper was printing, and then he gives you what everybody else was saying. And the way he does it, it's really interesting.
And what's the name of that one again?
History That Doesn't Suck.
And who's the person that does it?
I don't remember his name on the top of my head. But if you just go on to wherever you get a podcast, search for History That Doesn't Suck, and it's going to pop up.
Good night. Well, I will add it to our recommendations list. Oh, wait, the website is historythatdoesn'tsuck.com. Professor Greg Jackson, bi-weekly podcast, delivers a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting survey of American history through entertaining stories. Learn and be entertained. You're welcome, America. That's what it says on his webpage.
Sounds great.
There's a picture of his website. Very cool.
Very cool.
Well, with that, should we close out the recommendation section? In fact, I already closed it. Now I got to copy something new. Another section. And do we have any other tech topics for the day? Did anybody? Hey, Bill has been playing with Linux on his laptop for the last 2 weeks or more. What's the Linux report, Bill?
Well, the Linux report is fairly scant. I haven't been doing much. I've got a problem with applets. I haven't figured it out yet, but I've got a really cool applet downloaded that monitors all the sensors in the CPU or in the whole computer, all your fan speeds, your temperatures, and everything. But I haven't got it to work yet.
Can you summarize what an applet is for this crowd?
Not really. Yes, it's just a little. It sits down there on the bottom, and it's just basically a tiny program, as I understand it.
It sits in that status bar that we think of on Windows as the task bar.
Yeah, well, down there with your battery condition and your volume and your internet connection, it sits right down in there.
Date and time and all that.
All of that. And I basically found it. And this is the computer that I've been having trouble with. I suspected it was overheating, but I haven't got this applet to work. Now, I have to put a caveat with that, because a couple of weeks ago, my son brought me an 8-ball table, like a bar 8-ball table. And I've been playing a lot of 8-ball on my table. It's been my distraction at the moment. Cheryl and I play, it's called Race to 100. I spot her 30 points because I'm somewhat better than she is. And, but that evens it out. She comes very, very close to winning that. She hasn't beat me yet, but she comes very close. So we're having race to 100 every day, one of them. And, it really adds to my step count on my Fitbit, kind of. It's good
playing
exercise.
Eight ball.
It's very good exercise.
And it takes him away from the computer for about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, at least every day. So
that's good too. I have to admit, when you said eight ball table, my mind went a completely different direction. I'm like, what are you guys doing?
I don't understand.
I didn't know they sold tables for that.
Yeah, well, this is basically one of those bar tables, you know, where you put the money in and chunk the balls and spot them up and play a game, and then you put more money. Only I don't have to put any money in.
Hey, back to your Linux for a moment, though.
Yes.
Did you find something that would tell you the status of your thermal temperatures? And does it look like it's within spec? The fans are coming on when they're supposed to?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I got the applet downloaded for it, and it's supposed to be showing me that. But I'll click on one. What's it give me?
If anybody uses a monitor of temperature for their computer, just an FYI, it's typically monitored in Celsius, and over 100 is bad. 100 is boiling water in Celsius.
Yes.
And you do not want to boil water with your computer. That is bad.
Well, keep your coffee warm. You put it on top.
That's right. But it'll also fry your motherboard.
Yes.
Anything that's closely approaching 100 Celsius could be a cooling problem in your computer. And there's a number of different apps you can use out there that will monitor your CPU temperatures and let you know. You know what drives people to those kinds of programs are unresolved issues with their computer feeling slow. Because as a computer CPU gets hotter, it slows itself down so that it doesn't burn itself up. And so people that are having slowdowns, unexplainable slowdowns, start looking into what their temperatures are looking like on their computer. Are you out of here, Judy? We'll see you next week for a Cody extravaganza. We are going to have to be bringing this meeting to a close. I do have work outside of this, and I'm running out of time.
Oh, come on.
Wait a minute. We want him to work.
Well, it's afternoon here.
I have one thing. Did you guys read this article about Google locking somebody out of their account? I don't remember if I mentioned it last week or not, but I know I didn't put it on the blog post. I would read it. It's an eye opener, especially when you think you might have Google Wi-Fi for your network at your in your home. You may be using Google Pay as your electronic payment method. You may be using your Google account to authorize, to authenticate you on services out there on the internet, like, I don't know, a cookbook that you subscribe to or your Twitter account, whatever it might be, to get locked out of your Google account and not be able to deal with a human to try and sort it out could cause you all kinds of grief. And this is an article that talks about a guy that got locked out of his account and had no recourses for communicating with Google. And it was everything. It was his, it was the way that he did payments online. It was the way he did network stuff. And he was just shut off because he couldn't get into his account. And he had even what is the adjective I want to use? Some confusing message from Google stating that he had violated their terms of service. And so they had shut him down. But he couldn't find anything that shows him what a violation of terms of service is or what specifically he had done wrong. And maybe you guys are remembering me talk about this now because I'm realizing I've talked about this before in terms of copyrights and the music that gets played on YouTube and getting flags for copyright violations that the Apple event that Jim and I were talking over and got shut down on YouTube because we were in violation. And so if you decided that something like that was considered a heavy enough strike, Google could just suspend your account. And when you have your account tied in to so many of these services, that could be a very painful experience. So I don't know if any of you have experienced this kind of stuff, but this article is very interesting. It's from the beginning of the month. It's from March 8th, and I'll put a link on it in our blog post. But it's definitely worth a read. It'll help you shape your impressions of where we're going in the future with this stuff and how better to protect your online persona. I bet there's a lot of people on Twitter, you know, after the whole insurrection, thousands of people lost their Twitter accounts and their YouTube accounts. And I wonder, if you lose your YouTube account, well, you probably lost your Google account. And if you lost your Google account, you could have lost your wallet account. And so it seems like there should be something in place when you've dedicated that much of your infrastructure, that much of the things you're doing to one particular authenticator, then there should probably be in place some recourses for you other than tweeting out, having a friend. This is there's a couple of stories in this article. One of these stories, a friend had to tweet at Google that this guy had been shut down because he was left with no recourse to communicate with Google. It seems silly for an email, but it doesn't seem silly for where they're encouraging us to go. They're encouraging us to buy a Wi-Fi system for our home network and to manage it with our Google account. That's what we're being encouraged to do from Google. And I'm not trying to make them the bad guys. I'm just pointing out that this is an issue. When you've picked an authenticator that is giving you access to these things in your life, and the managers of that authenticator have decided that you have done something wrong and take away your access, it's more than you losing your email account. I mean, think of all the banks that you get into that are associated with that email account. Think of all the services, all the bills that you receive under that email account. They have really put a cramp in your style, the way that you exist as a digital person, by you inadvertently, I mean, I would hope it'd be inadvertently, breaching their terms of service and them deciding that it's so bad that you don't deserve to have an account anymore. They're setting you up to really fail. And it's starting to look like maybe there should be some kind of protections in those circumstances, some kind of consumer agency that you can appeal to if Google's not going to provide those kinds of services. Anyway, it's a good read, and I recommend it.
Okay, Scott.
Yes, sir.
I sent you a article on OXO, the history. So did you get that?
I got the picture. I don't think I read the article.
Well, the article is pretty interesting. It kind of gives you the history of the OXO system.
I'm trying to grab it right now. But how OXO works in Mexico?
Yeah, I believe so.
How it came about and the way that they – I did not read the article, but I was always under the impression that they approached families. You'd have a family-owned OXO. Is that what you got?
That's kind of what they got. I love the comment. OXO has their own coffee brand, and there was a statement in there that said every time somebody discards the coffee cup, an OXO coffee cup in a vacant lot, a new OXO springs up. I thought that was kind of
like dropping a seed.
That it's too close to the truth. Those things come up like that's the fastest thing I've ever seen constructed in Mexico. Is once they start an OXO, within a month they're up and running. It's incredible.
You sent me the NFTs, which we could have talked about today. We might save that for next week. The non-fungible. What do they call that?
Oh, the digital, the picture that sold for $69 million. Last week it was $16 million. Now,
Bill, you got some great topics that I didn't bring up today.
Well, I'm disappointed.
Also, the antibiotics. IBM's developed AI to invent new antibiotics.
Yes.
And then I've got a Mars rover picture that has OXO in the background.
Yeah.
As the first. This has got to come from Linux being the most popular operating system on Mars. It also has the first OXO, the first convenience store on Mars. I see that on my screen. Thank you. But I don't have a link to your article. For everybody up? I did. Hello? Everything on my computer just froze up. What did I do? And all of you people are gone except Irving. No? Well, this may be the time to end this meeting.
I don't know. If you wanted to leave, he could just say so.
I wasn't trying to leave. I mean, I am trying to leave, but that wasn't the point of the problem I was just having.
Yes.
Everything just froze up on my computer for some reason. It's a sign that we're almost done. I'm sorry, so you just broke up.
You seem to have left the meeting, Scott.
Yeah, something has happened on my end. I don't know if our internet has just died down. I don't know what's going on, but all of a sudden everything slowed way down.
Well, we only
have a good day, everybody.
I guess it's time to say goodbye then.
I think it is. I think it's the internet gods telling us that this is the end of the San Carlos Computer Club meeting. And if you guys are looking for any help, please let me know. I'm here all the time online, ready to help anybody. remote@internationalcs.net. And you guys are the computer club, and we will meet next Tuesday at 10 a.m. again. My time. Keep in mind your daylight savings time. We never got into a conversation about it. So let's have a dialogue on whether we should be changing the time of the meet. But let's not do it now because we're shutting it down.
All right.
We'll talk to you guys next week. Yeah. Adios. Hasta la próxima vez.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
See you guys. Adios. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. See you, Paul. Adios.
Adios, Paul. See you, Sid. Adios. See you, Dave. We're out of here. And that is the San Carlos Computer Club. Until next Tuesday. Check on.